And I think
movie. The a counterexample. I'm just thinking about movies now. But I
this
like
is fun. I like this.
This is really enjoyable for me. I don't.
This
ever
is
get
the
to
most.
Movies,
this is like, the most dude podcast though. This is the most white yes. dude podcast of
because
dudes
just love,
sit around and name.
I've been
movies.
Thinking. Yes, I've been thinking about like. I want to do more movie stuff on on Twitter because I really like movies and I really like talking about them. And I have nowhere else to do it, so I might as well just do it online. But I'm thinking about Legally Blonde. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that was born on the 4th of July. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Dude, what's
your name? I'm Patrick, and this is The Crunch, a podcast where Ethan and I talk about two buds, talk about a Catholic topic, and mostly make jokes on the way. We're glad you're here. What were you saying?
I was at the parade this morning for the 4th of July, and it was half. I have a lot to say about this parade because it was very enlightening.
You've
but
already
the,
been
the high school marching
maxed.
Band. I've parade maxed early. I was up early, did my cold plunge, was watching videos of parades on YouTube while I was in the cold plunge, got out.
To prep.
You know, checked my seven-figure 401k, and then I went to the...
that would joking. Suck. To what? Have $10 million in an account you can't access until you're 55 and a half.
Seven figures is $9 million is the most you can have with seven figures.
Oh, wait. You said seven
Eight figures?
Figures.
I said
heard,
seven
okay.
figures.
Yeah. To have $9 million or $1 million in an account. Never mind.
No, it's nine. It's nine. It's nine. Anyway, I checked my 401k and then I went to the freaking parade. And there's lots of cool things, but when the high school band starts walking by and all the instruments cut out except the flutes and they start hitting the Yankee Doodle Dandy, I saluted like I was about to charge the trench. I was so amped up. When they played,
you think
Yankee
they had
Doodle
Yankee
Dandy.
Doodle Dandy in the trenches in World War One?
Well, they had little drummer boys going so. Pum pum pum. That's what that song is about, right?
No. Yeah. No, they definitely did that in like the Revolutionary War. James has a good bit about that. You remember that bit where he's like they were having fun in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. they had a little kid with a drum, you know.
Yeah.
There was like 800 guys out of 10,000 dead because you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get their foot blown off by a stray musket, but nothing goes to anything vital, you know?
No, no. It's they got one guy whose job is to tootle pip on the old horn.
Yeah.
And without him, the battle cannot be won. So I was really excited about them playing Yankee Doodle Dandy, and I was they heard me hooting and hollering from the sidewalk. I was having a great time. There were fire trucks.
Dude, yeah.
Peter saw the fire trucks.
Was he
was loving
a great
that.
Time?
There were a bunch of guys, it was like the guys from Indiana Jones 3 with the hats. You know what I'm talking about?
Nazis?
No, the other ones. Different hats.
Oh. Freemasons.
That are protecting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so there were a bunch of Freemasons, and the Freemasons kind of have a corner on like funny little vehicles, which I didn't realize.
Really?
Have you? I don't know if you've ever been to a parade, but it's like... It's the Shriners start coming out, right?
Yeah.
And they're driving. And to start with, they're like on motorcycles or they're on like normal cars or like trucks pulling floats. And then all of a sudden they're in dune buggies. They're in little clown cars. They're in those like three-wheeled motorcycles that like drift around corners, like the big wheel.
Yeah.
But it's a motorized big wheel. And they're doing wheelies on like two sides of the thing. So like they're up on the side doing wheelies. It was crazy, and they were all just Freemasons, and they were just—they looked like they were having the best time. And as I was watching it, I was like, maybe we should rethink our stance, because the Knights of Columbus were after them. All they had was the swords.
No, we gotta have a little more fun with the Knights of Columbus.
We need to have a little more fun, and then right after the Knights of Columbus, so it's that you have the big wheel Masons. And you have Knights of Columbus with the swords. And then right after the Knights of Columbus with the swords, there's just a car that just has some old guys in it. And you're like, what is that? And then you look at the little, it's like a tiny sign in like Comic Sans on the door. And it just says Archbishop Beltran. And it was just like a retired archbishop that was just in the parade. And I was like, oh, oh. I was so excited. I was like, cool. Oh, guys, hey, look. I was like, we were with all of our friends. We were like, oh, Archbishop, yeah. Like, we were cheering for him. Like, everyone else is like, who is this guy? We don't know who he is. But everyone in our friend group, we were like, I thought he was dead, low-key.
He might be.
So to see him pop up in the parade was a treat. Just totally understated, you know, no pomp and circumstance, just like a guy in a car.
Good for him.
Having a good time. I know. Comic Sans. I thought that was great. I think more bishops should be in parades.
More bishops should be in parades. More Knights of Columbus should have motorized big wheels. Fewer Freemasons should have cool things, I think.
Yeah. It was like the Freemason Dune Buggy Club, the Freemason Big Wheel Club. They had a representative from the Freemason Bowling League. They had their own car. I was like, man,
these guys got a lot going for them. I know.
Like, there should be Catholic Dune Buggy Club, Catholic Big Wheel Club, Catholic Bowling League. Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing? All
Not
we have is
that.
Tootsie Roll.
All we have.
All we
all
do
we
is
have
eat Tootsie
is,
Roll and lie.
All we do is theology on tap and lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy. But it was fun, dude.
Did you hear the American Psychological Association officially marked 35 as middle age?
No, but I mean, they're behind.
It's over for young adult group.
Yeah. I mean, it was already over for young adult group because half of the guys at young adult group were 40 years old anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So... Just trying to meet my 21-year-old trad wife at the young adult group.
Oh, brother. Anyway.
How are you feeling? What have you done so far today? Have you celebrated in any way? Have you seen a spaceship launch go awry? Or anything like that? Like a firework?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've seen
unmanned,
fire.
Obviously.
Unmanned fireworks gone awry. No, we haven't done anything fun yet. I've mostly just hung out and got angry at my son. Yeah, he's kind of been in a mood.
What'd he do?
He's just, he's just in a very much, I was like, if you say mine one more time, I'm going to take everything out of your room and stick you in it. That's what's going to happen.
Mine goes crazy when you're 2 years old.
He's like, I'm like trying to make him a sandwich because he asked for a sandwich. And he takes the peanut butter and the spoon, and I go grab the spoon, and he goes, mine, no, mine. And I'm just like, give me the spoon. And Phoebe's like, Patrick, just go get another spoon. And I'm like, it is the principle of the thing. This spoon is my spoon that I'm using to make him a sandwich.
Uh-huh. So you're fighting fire with fire. Yes. He says mine. And instead of you saying, okay, I'll use my big working legs to go get a different spoon, I'm going to just do what you're doing, but I'm bigger and louder.
But I'm bigger and I'm going to win. I'm going to teach you how this works. Oh, man. Anyway, that was fun. It was a fun morning.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, normal day. Just hanging out with the family. Going to have some burgers. Going to watch some fireworks at the river. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Why not the ocean? I thought you were oceanside, bro.
You can't really, like, they don't really put a barge out on the ocean and shoot fireworks off.
Why not? What is the point of having an ocean if you don't go out on a barge every once in a while?
They might do that, although I don't think they do that because of the sea turtles.
I mean, the sea turtles, if the sea turtles die...
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they should die.
Too many hotels would go up. That's what would happen.
We can blame the Chinese for inventing
the firework.
They're
not even on that side of
the
country.
Place. No, but the Chinese, they came up with gunpowder and fireworks, and they were like, oh, look at us. Mm-hmm. We're the Ming Dynasty or whoever.
Sounds about right.
And so if the turtles die, we just trace it. We just root it back to the Mings. And we just say, listen, don't be mad at us. We're not we didn't come up with this.
No.
We had to do it. Right?
we do fireworks over the river, I think. That way people
So there's no turtles or wildlife in the river?
There's no sea turtles in the river, actually. No.
What if they wanted to live there?
They
timeshare?
Bad things would happen, I think, if turtles. The river is mixed, so there are fresh and saltwater fish and aquatic life in the river. We do see dolphins in there frequently.
Yes.
But it's connected to the ocean very far away from where the sea turtles lay their eggs.
Right.
And so The sea turtles, if you ever want to, another cool thing about Melbourne, not a lot of resorts and hotels on our beach because they're sea turtle nesting areas on the beach. And so it's prohibitive for companies to come and build big old resorts because they have to turn off the lights for 3 or 4 months out of the year. Because the sea turtles, if the lights are on in the hotels, they'll go, "Hey, look, it's the moon." And then they'll walk into the street.
I do think that that's the turtles' fault.
I do think they should have figured that out by now.
If you can't tell the difference between the moon and a hotel, I don't think you deserve to be a turtle no more.
the little baby turtles will just wander into the street. Yeah. So sad.
That's fine. I've never felt a particular sympathy for the baby turtle or for the adult turtle.
I think it is the adult turtle because the adults navigate using the moon.
Because if you think about it, right? If I'm coming from a purely materialistic, point of view, there's no meaning to anything. The turtle should evolve to be faster.
Famous materialist Ethan Stevie, material scientific determinist.
Yeah. Animals, if they want to survive, they need to get fast or strong. Like, you can't be, you're expecting me to take care of you because you're slow. What did I figure out? Tools, clothes, society, government,
hotels. We made
the Ming Dynasty era fireworks.
If you want hotels,
I figured all these things out.
Sorry, you just stopped in the middle of
I'm good.
You froze. So yes, the sea turtles, they're very good and important. And
the only thing they figured out is how to travel the East Australian current.
It's not those sea turtles. It's different ones, I think. Fun fact about sea turtles, they always return to lay eggs where they were born. So they return to the exact spot. Isn't that cool?
What if we build a hotel there?
That's part of the reason why they don't build hotels there is because we've already destroyed so many nests and the turtles don't come back.
I think if we really want to be progressive, instead of not building the hotel, let's just give the turtles a room in the hotel. Let's get
the
them
Shelson
room
family
let's
checking hook... into room 1348. Yeah.
He has to get checked out of his room because he doesn't make it down the hallway in time before checkout. So he never actually gets checked in. He has to book it for a week in advance.
So he can make it.
So he can make it to his room, and then he instantly has to just start heading back to the front desk.
But dude, sea turtles are huge, though. Have you ever seen one in person?
No, I'm a landlocked.
Oh,
guy.
That's right. Well, what about the second biggest inland port? Whatever. No sea turtles there?
No, I mean, that port is famous for its hotels, as I'm sure you'll know. Yeah.
Nice. No sea turtles there because there's too many hotels.
No sea turtles there. No, I mean, I have seen signs for the port of Catoosa, but a visitor of it, I have not been.
Oh, okay. Well.
Ports I heed not.
Sea turtles are huge. Yeah. They're big enough that a fully grown man, a fully grown adult can... comfortably, actually not really, it's you really can't because you can't get your legs over, but sitting on its back. I know this because some kids in my high school got arrested when we were in high school because they put a picture of them on Snapchat riding one of the sea turtles after they had spray painted its shell, and they posted it on their Snapchat story, and they got arrested because it's a federally protected animal. So they committed a felony.
Well, also, I think you should, even if it's not a felony, I think you should go to jail for that because that's
it's so mean.
Don't spray paint a turtle.
What's it going to do? Come on. Yeah. And it went back into the ocean. There's nothing we can't fix that. That turtle's like that forever now. It's going to join
that
gangs.
Is not,
it's going to go to prison, you know?
Yep.
It's like the Post Malone of turtles.
You've ruined his life. He's like the Post Malone of turtles. This is not like a graduation cap that you can decorate at will.
Yeah.
You know, this is a real living being.
Yeah. Its own agency and its own purpose.
To me, the line of animal interaction where you should not get arrested is cow tipping. I think you can tip a cow over.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
And I think that's fine.
I think that's okay.
Yeah. And then, And then if you, because as we know from the movie Barnyard, if the cows get mad enough, they'll just come back and they'll just top you out of your bed.
That's so funny.
It is really funny. So I think, and so the cows can fight back. The turtles, on the other hand,
they can't fight back.
Not a lot of, this is what I mean about their lack of development, you know? Mm-hmm. I think it these is, all these progressives and these environmentalists need to start, you know, let the turtles die is what I'm saying.
There are a bunch really of cases. That. There are a lot of cases of the EPA or the act that during the Nixon administration, all the environmental mm-hmm. actions that were done via the during the Nixon mm-hmm. administration. There's a bunch of examples of protected animals all of a sudden becoming overpopulated and like the opposite happening. Yeah. It's a difficult balance to strike, which is why you just shouldn't mess with it in the first place.
Yeah, you know? Just don't finagle with the animal population.
En masse. You know, it's like you gotta.
Yes.
You can't do it en masse. That's the problem. So we start doing like.
You can do it en we. You know, with like the little remote control and stuff like that.
I thought en we like the feeling of purposelessness and.
No, it was kind of a. I did a double joke. I went two for one.
Two for one.
I jumped.
I love a good two.
I jumped ahead. Yeah. Before we move on, I think the idea of a fully grown man is funny because it implies that there are some men that aren't fully grown.
Yes. Well, we know this.
Yeah.
We know there are some not fully grown men.
Yeah. I mean, they're all over Twitter, but like what would be like the line where you would stop? Where, like if a guy is an adult man and he's 5'4", like Taylor Marshall sized.
I think, nice.
Is he not fully grown?
I think the line for fully grown man is like right after Michael Cera. Like he's almost
he's
a
tall.
Fully grown man.
He's tall.
Yeah, no, but he's like not fully grown. He like doesn't look, he's a man, but he's not fully grown.
he's but a large sapling.
Yeah, he like
age.
Still could play George Michael if he wanted to today. And that's the thing. You shave his little mustache off. He's good to go. I saw an edit
it's
of Michael Cera the other day, like a like a TikTok edit.
Yeah, like a Sigma grind set edit of Michael Cera.
I was like, this doesn't feel
it's
right.
So funny.
Oh,
I
man.
Love those. I think it's funny how Michael Cera and Michael Jordan both decided to do a little Hitler stash.
Yeah, man.
To like deal with their problems.
Yeah,
you know, Michael Jordan's like, I'm deep in debt, and my dad died. And I can't play basketball anymore. Guess I'll grow the Hitler stash. Mm. Michael Cera's like, I perpetually look like a child. I guess I'll grow the Hitler stash.
I guess I'll grow that. I like how one of them was like, I've reached the top of my game. The top of my game, and there's no further I can go because I'm the best at that has ever done what I do. And then the other one, Michael Jordan, he said, there we go. That's mm-hmm. I wish I'd had more time to think about that one. Anyway,
that's okay. You did all right. You did okay. So it's a good 4th of July. I am excited about what the rest of the day may hold for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pop on Independence Day. Mm. The film with Will Smith. Jeff Goldblum. Show it to my wife for the first time. She's going to hate it. She doesn't like aliens in movies.
Really? That's all like Will Smith's movies are alien movies.
No. Pursuit of Happiness.
Good point.
The movie where he's the tennis coach.
Yeah.
The movie where it's not it's iRobot is robots, but not aliens.
Mm-hmm.
It's really only two movies that's aliens. It's Men in Black and Independence Day.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. Wait, no,
I've never seen After Earth, but nobody else has seen it either, so that's okay.
What about the Suicide Squad count? There's like weird looking guys, you know, like
there are weird looking guys in Suicide Squad.
Does that count?
That's true. Maybe. I didn't see the first one. I only saw the second.
Was he in
Suicide
Space
Squad.
Jam? Was Will Smith in Space Jam? What about the second Space Jam?
Mm-mm. It was Michael Jordan again, and LeBron James was in the second one.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't see the second Space Jam.
No.
Anyway.
But, Yes. So I feel good. I feel healthy. I saw someone say online that Transformers, the first one, was the last American movie.
And was that's Pacific just been Rim making before me think. Or after the first Transformers movie?
Pacific Rim was after, but Pacific Rim took place in like Tokyo for most of it.
I don't think so.
So it's not really like.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It did. Okay. The first scene is like Alaska or something, and the guy in the Jaeger dies, or his brother dies, mm-hmm. or whatever. And then he's like, "We got to bring you back for one final mission," and it's like in Tokyo.
It's awful to say that Transformers is the last American movie when they keep making Fast and Furious movies.
That's true. I think the thing that he was saying is that it's like about a young guy and like the girl next door, and they have like secret government agencies, and then you have the military coming in, and it's like kind of a pro-military movie, and it's Michael Bay. And so it's just like hot girls and guns and big cars and like aliens. Sure. And it's just kind of like the whole package. You know what I mean?
I see.
Fast and Furious has elements, to be certain. But I think, I don't think it's American in the same way that 2007 Transformers is.
I also think he's misusing the term girl next door. Girl next door is not like, Megan Fox is not girl next door. You know?
Maybe not where you live in Melbourne, Florida. Oklahoma.
Girl next door.
That's what all the women look like.
Every woman looks like that. I hear what he's trying to say, but in my understanding of like American storytelling is it's like there's at least an element of purity still involved, because America is still very puritanical.
The girl next door is a stock character and frequently a potential love interest for male protagonists who is open, approachable, and unassuming. The girl he thinks of as his best friend, his childhood pal, even just one of the boys. That's true. What do you mean?
We just look it up. I think Megan Fox was a childhood best friend of his. Was she in the movie?
No, I think I think she was just like the hot girl in school. So she was less of a girl next door and more of like a,
I think there's a good conversation to be had about when the ideal female lead changed from, kind of like childhood best friend where love develops over time into this kind of like goddess-esque, like unattainable character. You know,
Hunger Game.
When did it change to teenage dirtbag? You know, where it's like, her name is Noelle. That's how he sings.
What?
You never heard that song?
J.D. Flynn accused me of not knowing the song Teenage Dirtbag the other day, or like he responded with the lyrics.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he's like, have you never heard that song? And I was like, no.
You never heard Teenage Dirtbag before?
Well, I looked it up after J.D. Flynn quoted the lyrics to me to try and prove a point.
I looked it up after the guy who wrote it followed me on Twitter.
Nice. Yeah, that's funny. Who wrote it?
Wheatus. Him and the Eve 6 guy are friends. I know, right? Him and the Eve 6 guy are friends on. They're both one-hit wonder guys, and so they're friends on Twitter. And I made a joke that made Eve 6 laugh, and they followed me. And then I had a conversation with Wheatus about it, and he was like, we're not on the top 10 list. And I was like, dude, you're on the number one. You're the number one song for one hit wonders in New Zealand. And he's like, bro, I got to go to New Zealand. I was like, yeah, you got to go to New Zealand. They love you there. The Kiwis.
Wheatus is what we called the elbow when we were in middle school.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
I just got out of a cold shower, and boy, are my arms tired.
I just got out of prison. And I need something to get my spiritual life back on track.
Speaking of prison... thank you to Exodus 90 for sponsoring this episode of our podcast. If you've done Exodus 90, you might have felt like you were in a prison of not being able to watch television. But Exodus 90 is more than sacrifices and cold showers and asceticism.
Yes.
Exodus 90 has an app of reflection and prayer for you to use throughout the year.
Yes.
That you might not be aware of. It's at exodus90.com/thecrunch say yes. that first, but then you can talk.
No, exodus90.com/thecrunch is the place to go. Instead of being, you know, in jail, not having snacks because I didn't have enough money in my commissary, I am now not eating snacks because of Exodus 90. Exodus90.com/crunch is the place to be. And this month, they're doing a special course in anticipation of the National Eucharistic Congress, special course on the Eucharist that you can get. If you go to exodus90.com/crunch, you get 14-day free trial, and you can go deeper as we as a nation prepare for the National Eucharistic Congress. It's a big ticket item, but Exodus 90's got some really, really great stuff on there about the Eucharist that you're going to want to see. Exodus90.com/thecrunch for the 14-day trial. Patrick, you've been liking what they've been doing.
I've been liking what they're putting out. I knew about this app a while ago before they sponsored the podcast. I used it when I did Exodus 90, and I can highly recommend it. So exodus90.com/thecrunch, 14-day free trial. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Do it now, or else my prison sentence was in vain. Patrick, you're always talking about how you're reading books.
I'm protesting. I'm not reading books anymore.
You're not reading books anymore?
No, you need to convince me to read a book. I don't want to read books anymore.
I need to convince my friends to read a book.
I don't want to read books anymore. I want to watch television and sit on the couch.
I'm going to use pathos here and appeal to your emotions because you're my friend. Yes. Today, I started reading Alec Mauley's Out of Sons, a wonderful fictional tale about two brothers that go on a journey to rekindle some love, maybe have an adventure, maybe find out what brotherhood is actually about. I was reading it, first of all, because the author's a friend of mine. He sponsors a show. But then as I got about 20 pages into it, I was like, hold on a minute. My guy, who's a friend of mine from college, actually wrote a pretty compelling book.
Dang.
I know. I was like, shoot, this is good. He gets a lot of stuff right about what it's like to be a guy, about what it's like to be growing up in a world where a desk job feels like the only choice, or if you're not doing that, then you're basically working as a lawn care person for the rest of your life. Like these two young men that are just wrestling with, like, how do I live my life? How do I not let down my dad? How do I be a good person whenever it's so easy to not be a good person? I really think you'd like the book, and I think you should read it.
Well, I'm convinced. I know I'm doing like a bit, but every time you talk about, for some reason, Alec, the book is not getting to my house. Please send, you're torturing me. I'm hearing about this book, and I'm like, honestly, I'm just going to go buy it. That's actually, I've decided I'm just going to buy it because first of all, I'm telling everyone else to do it. So I should probably do it myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm going to go buy this book. You should all do it too. Out of Sons by Alec Mauley. It is out on Amazon now. Go check it out.
I read half of the book in one sitting today.
Wow, so is that good?
I'm not joking. So everybody, get the book, read it. Out of Sons by Alec Mauley. Get it on Amazon. Link is in the bio. Patrick, you know what I hate
more than the Cubs?
I do hate the Cubs, but I famously my number one enemy. I hate big tech. And I don't like how they've gotten their little grubby fingers into every single aspect of digital life. And that's why The Crunch, where our website is now proudly hosted on Patmos. Patmos
exactly
is your island of refuge from big tech, and they provide top-notch web and app development services, hosting, AI, GPU services, and they're all backed by a no censorship guarantee. And Patrick, I know you like that because I know you say some crazy stuff, man.
I do say some crazy things. We just recently transferred our web hosting over to Patmos. It was easy. It was seamless. The pricing was competitive. And also, I feel secure that I can post what I want on my website. And all of a sudden, people won't decide, oh, that's bad, and I'm going to cancel this guy. You know,
The reason that they're so good is because they have the best prices, and they own the data center all the way up to the top of the stack. So all the way down to the dirt, they own all the metal between you and your data, where it's stored on a hard drive somewhere. Like, they own all of it. So they can give you the greatest prices, and they can actually guarantee that they're going to provide the service that they say. We actually have a personal representative. Her name's Camilla, and she helps us out. She is someone that we can call if we have any issues. And they don't ever do anything offshore. So anytime we're working with them, we don't have to call and like be on hold or like it's a call center in another country. It's great. Yeah. They're really, really wonderful people.
So if you want to like build an app or a website, or you want to host your current site, like you already have one, you can reach out to Patmos at patmos.tech an easy URL to remember, patmos.tech. They help businesses and missions of all sizes achieve their goals in a safe and secure way, whether you want to build an e-commerce site or a megawatt large language learning model in the Patmos data center. Holy cow. Patmos can help you. Tell them the Crunch sent you and get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration. That's patmos.tech. Patmos, freedom as a service.
And I also hear software that if you are a Crunch listener and you tell them that you are out there looking for a job in the data or computer programming world, they can hook you up. So mention our name and maybe we could get you a job. Maybe we can get you 10% off on your next web project or your hosting migration. That's Patmos at patmos.tech. Thank you. Back to the episode.
Anyway,
whoa,
that's how the song starts. He sings it like that. It's about a little guy who loves a little guy who loves a girl who rings his bell. And she's this unattainable character, she's an unattainable figure. But then it turns out she did love him the whole time. And he doesn't actually really earn it at all. It's just kind of like given to him by circumstances.
Nice.
He doesn't actually earn her affection in any way. There's no like real relationship. It's just she's like, I like Iron Maiden too. You know?
To answer your question, I think the turn happened when the dystopian thing started happening.
Really?
I do think it was Hunger Games and I think Divergent had an outsized cultural impact because a lot of people read Divergent.
I don't remember much about Divergent. I got Hunger Games and Divergent confused all the time. One of them,
yeah,
Divergent or Hunger Games, the love interest is a boy who she grew up with, and then she but ends up
it's
also
boy next door.
Yeah, okay.
It flips it. It's boy next door because it's PETA, who is the like the bakery guy.
Yeah,
he's a good guy, and he gives Katniss food when she's poor.
Uh-huh.
And so, because he loves her, and which kind of sucks, because like you'd hope that he would give her food just because he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can spread this ice cube out. I don't know why it popped in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know why he did that.
All right, ice cube dislodged. It is kind of an inverse where Katniss is sort of the lead, and then PETA is the boy next door, and Gale, the traditionally handsome, powerful man. Is left to the side for the soy baker boy who instead of dying for his beloved agrees to a suicide pact on live TV. So
crazy.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I know.
So that was the last boy next door.
Well, I think in the popular cultural imagination, I think the Hunger Games is the turning point from traditional, but I also think it's interesting because we were talking about Transformers, but I think Sam Witwicky is an interesting character because he's kind of like a loser, nerdy sort of guy, not a traditional action hero that ends up getting the girl. And so there was already this like a trend of like less and less masculine men leading, you know,
and then it
flipped, and then it was more and more like, it was like Katniss, who's kind of like a tomboy to start, and then you kind of get further and further down that path till eventually. And then the girl from Divergent was like a tomboy, and then the girl from freaking, what's the other? I don't know the other one, but like started to be more and more masculine women. And then it was just like totally it was just girl boss women, regardless of how they acted, you know?
I did do an analysis when I was in college.
You did?
And I pulled this
on what?
On the relative masculine and feminine representations of men and women in American sitcoms circa like as of 2019. And I was having a conversation with John and Katie from Is This for Kids about this, because John always complains about how he thinks there's no masculine men on TV anymore. And so I pulled up the data the analysis that I did, and I like had 10 different characteristics, like whether someone was independent or dependent, whether someone was career driven or family driven, whether someone was, you know, XYZ. And in positive traits, women outperformed men on all three sitcoms. I did like it was a Big Bang Theory, Superstore was popular at the time, and
I remember that.
Modern Family, Superstore, and Big Bang Theory. And in all mm-hmm. three television shows, the female characters, even though Big Bang Theory has like ditzy women and like, you know, and Superstore
Penny's
has
whole
like,
thing is that she's the dumb hot blonde. That's
exactly.
Her whole
and yet her character is still portrayed as more admirable than the men on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And the men it's were the men were portrayed as more domestic, which was interesting. The women were not portrayed
on
as
the
domestic.
Big Bang Theory
on
or
all
just
three,
overall?
All three, all overall.
That's true.
Yeah,
That is interesting. That is, it's kind of then it like kind of begs the question because originally what I was thinking about today specifically was like, what's the most American movie?
Mm.
You know, so like somebody was said like the last American movie was Transformers, and then we kind of have this trend of like an inversion of the traditional aspects of men and women. And I think that plays a big part in it, but like
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
You think so?
Oh, that's an American movie. Oh, absolutely.
Is it the most American movie?
I think it might be the most American movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. I think Raiders might
think
be the most
right.
American movie because it's about an American man who's like a high level. He's mm-hmm. he's the whole package, right? He's smart.
Right.
He's handsome.
He's an academic.
Agile.
He's handsome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it, you know, it starts off in media res. He's doing something cool. Like that's a classic, an epic tale starting in the middle of a battle. The love interest mm-hmm. is someone that he has history with, right? That he
right.
that starts off not having affection, having negative affection for him, but he wins her over in the end through his acts of sacrifice. He fights
because
Nazis.
He puts her in a basket. He puts her in a basket, blows her up on a truck.
Yeah, man.
And then she's just so happy to not be dead that she's like, I guess I'll marry you now.
Yes.
But then by the second movie, she's like, I'm not going to India with you. And then they get divorced.
Yeah, we'll leave that aside. But they get back together in Crystal Skull, right? Or is that a different
They
lady?
Do.
Oh, okay.
No, they do get back together.
And then they kill her in the fifth movie for no reason.
They do?
Yes.
Really?
I didn't see
the fifth one.
They start off in the fifth movie. I just heard about this. In the fifth movie, they start off about like Shia LaBeouf. Made a lot of Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf.
Is Shia in the fifth movie?
Oh, no. They kill off Shia. They kill off Shia, and it drove Indiana Jones insane, and so he divorced again. And so he starts off the movie as just this like old, sad, divorced man.
It sucks. That is also a very American movie.
That's a very American movie. It's like Up, but sadder. But no, mm-hmm. Raiders is the most American movie because it's like not only is he's going abroad to fix a problem, to fight an evil Nazi
evil.
Organization. It's very like it's mm-hmm. very American
it's,
interventionist.
Well,
you know,
it's also very pro-Jewish, which is extremely American.
Yes.
To be an ally of
Israel. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a whole other thing that we have to factor in. But I do think Raiders is interesting because to have that kind of pulp, even the movies today that are more in that genre, like the kind of campy, fun action movies.
Adventure movie, yeah.
Adventure movie. They're not. They're gonna have Dwayne the Rock Johnson, or they're gonna have Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds or whoever the guy is, you know,
Mark Wahlberg
be the action star, but it's still the problem is like what you have to go to a certain like level of B tier like Jason Statham action movie to have it be unironic, you know, like
really.
In the A tier, in the A list movies that are adventure movies, it's like, I'm going to be a man, but I'm going to be like, I'm thinking about the most recent James Bond movie where mm-hmm. he like is kind of apologetic or like kind of fumbling around in like his masculinity. Like he sees this young girl played by Ana de Armas and he's like trying to flirt with her and it's like weird and she's like kind of ignoring him and he's like kind of off of his game and like, he doesn't really know. It's like kind of poking fun at the whole, this is a suave, supposed to be a very suave,
mm-hmm.
you know, Don Juan sort of character. And so they have to like kind of knock him down a peg of like, oh, he can't get girls like he used to, which kind of makes sense for the character because he's older.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not the the complete unabashed male attractiveness of the of the Harrison Ford in the 1980s, which is maybe there's good to be said about that. I don't know.
Maybe,
but it's interesting
because I think it's just laziness in writers. They feel like the fatal flaw of a character. They don't understand that a character can maybe they, I don't say they don't understand, but it seems like the fatal flaw is no longer something that is explored. Mm-hmm. The fatal flaw is simply mm-hmm. masculinity. Like that is the that is the character's flaw that he has to get over, as opposed to, you know, Indiana Jones's hubris. You know, he has to
which is a much more interesting flaw.
It is
than just like it be like your pride is way harder to conquer than being a man, because the mm-hmm. way that they conquer the fatal flaw in all of these modern shows and TV and movies is just like you just have to act completely effeminate in like the Aquinas definition of the word, like mm-hmm. you just have to have no agency, like you just kind of give it up and like let the women take charge, you know?
No, a great example of this of that exact thing is the difference between Incredibles 1 and Incredibles 2.
Oh, true.
The plot of Incredibles 1 is I used to be amazing and now I am not. I feel like I'm not.
And that makes me sad.
Yeah, and he's like, I need to conquer myself, and I need to go, and I need to do this apart from my family. And yet, mm-hmm. in the end, what does he learn? That he needed his family to be super. Like, in order to be super again, he needed his family, right? And so it is a very pro-family mm-hmm. movie. What do they do in the second one? It's the exact opposite. I need to
Helen
stay home.
Helen goes out completely on her own.
Yeah.
She like does the plot. She does what Bob does in the first
backwards.
Movie. But it's good.
But it's good. And everyone's
but then the
aware
movie
of it
paints
instead.
It as a good thing. Yeah.
And it that ends up really being, and it's funny because it ends up being a bad thing. She ends up trusting herself to a villain, but she, mm-hmm. that's not like, she's not chastised for it. She doesn't, oh, now I have to team up with my husband. It's like the kids, they all get trapped and the kids have to save them. You know, it's like,
right.
Anyway, so
it's
that's the difference. It's like Incredibles, it's actually more anti-toxic masculinity than Incredibles 2 mm-hmm. because he stops relying on himself and starts relying on his family. He goes from independent to interdependent. I think that's the mm-hmm. to put it in the Stephen Covey framework. Characters are more interesting when they are independent, when they start off independent. Mm-hmm. These action figures that are like so cool, like we watch them blow up things. They go from independent to interdependent, whereas, you know, in the female motivated characters, it seems like female heroes go from interdependent to independent, and that's their character arc, and it's less interesting mm-hmm. because, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, all right, cool, you've ascended to the level of quasi deity, but that's mm-hmm. not really interesting. That's what happens to Katniss, you know, she becomes a deity, and it's like, okay.
It's like I'm thinking about movies like The Devil Wears Prada, where you have Meryl Streep's character mm-hmm. who's like who starts there like at the deity level, and she's like the head of this fashion company and everybody's afraid of her mm-hmm. and like her isolation and loneliness pushes her away from other people, and then over the course of the movie she like learns to be friends with Anne Hathaway because of Anne Hathaway's like bumbling idiocy. Mm-hmm. That ends up like they meet in the middle where like Anne Hathaway learns to, instead of being like a frumpy lady, she learns how to be stylish. And then Meryl Streep's character goes from the angry biatch. I don't know if I can say that.
You can say,
but that's
you can
like,
say that. You can't say the actual word. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like if you've seen that movie, she's very mean.
Yes.
But then she learns they meet in the middle and they become like the interdependence, like what you're talking about, like they actually work together and develop a functional relationship mm-hmm. that like benefits the whole company and everybody and not just like one or the other. I feel like that's a really good example of the way that women can be written in movies.
Yes.
Cause I like that movie a lot. I think it's very funny and very compelling.
I liked Miss Congeniality. That was my favorite female.
I like that movie too.
That's
a
really
good
movie.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so good. She's, and that's like that is a great example of a movie with a woman as an action hero, right? and she is mm-hmm. not weakened by her femininity, right? She's mm-hmm. able to live in two worlds and fix both of them. Mm-hmm. Like by her virtue is the thing. She's like in she like lives in both worlds, and she makes the FBI a safer place and a more mm-hmm. honest place, and she makes the pageant a more community place, because she wins Miss Congeniality. It's very good.
And I think movie. The a counterexample. I'm just thinking about movies now. But I
this is fun. I like this.
This is really enjoyable for me. I don't.
This
ever
is
get
the
to
most.
Movies,
this is like, the most dude podcast though. This is the most white yes. dude podcast of because dudes just love, sit around and name.
I've been
movies.
Thinking. Yes, I've been thinking about like I want to do more movie stuff on Twitter because I really like movies and I really like talking about them and I have nowhere else to do it, so I might as well just do it online. But I'm thinking about Legally Blonde as like a counterexample of like the woman gets more independent, but it's like a good thing because she had an unhealthy attachment to her boyfriend or whatever. Like she was going to law school to like get this guy back or something. You know, I can't remember exactly what the reasoning was. And then she eventually becomes a great lawyer on her own, but it's not like I'm an independent girl boss queen slay.
She moves
thing.
From
it's
dependence
like,
to independence. That's an interesting
correct.
Move. Yeah.
Which is good. Yeah. It's and I don't think it like it doesn't fall into the same trap that a movie like the Divergent movies falls into, or the Hunger Games movies fall into, where this woman is just completely neglecting everything else in her life. She like actually builds friendships with these other people that are at the firm and benefits other people in her life by like being a positive, like she has a lot of virtue. Like she works really hard and she cares about other people, mm-hmm. you know? And like, because of that, she is successful, as opposed to just like being empowered, like being the thing that makes you.
Yeah.
This is why I hate Stranger Things, bro.
Oh, really?
Because I freaking hate it. I hate the whole plot of the show is just like, my name's Eleven, and like, I'm like a woman, and like, I'm going to take down the darkness.
Cool.
You know, she just like yells, and like, because she yelled louder this episode than she did last episode, she like wins. It just, it makes me so mad, because it's not like, it's not real.
Yeah.
You know, like there's ways to have people with powers, like The Incredibles, for example. Like there's ways to have stories around people with superpowers mm-hmm. in a way that's not completely just like
about Marvel, where it's like, I don't know how they're going to defeat Thanos, but I know it's going to be a bunch of them shooting lasers at him at once. You know, it's like that, like, that was what Ultron was. It was like three guys who can shoot lasers all shooting at Ultron at the same mm-hmm. time. It's like, that's just not interesting because they're all shooting lasers. I want to edit what I said, though.
I hate the... Yeah, go ahead.
Moving to independence is not it's not uninteresting. Like, moving to correct. Independence from dependence is interesting. I just think it's sad when, like, a character moves backwards. Like, I think that's what happened with Elastigirl. She was in the end of Incredibles. Like, the family's working as a team, and in the movie, she ends up going backwards, and that's like celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same with Inside Out.
I think
same thing happens.
Mm-hmm. I think that another modern movie that makes me, I don't know, I'd have to rewatch it to get the exact. I don't know if it applies as well. I'm thinking about The Menu, which I don't know if many people have seen, but it's got Anya Taylor-Joy in it, and she plays a call girl who gets brought on a very fancy date, and everyone dies except her. Actually, she doesn't really have much of a... Her whole character is like, I'm fine with being a call girl.
Yeah.
And then it just like, it just ends that way. So she doesn't really grow. It's kind of like she's the center of the movie and a bunch of crazy stuff happens around her. That's not as good of an example.
That's where she orders
still
a
fun
cheeseburger.
Movie. She orders a cheeseburger and she eats the cheeseburger.
And she lives.
Yeah. Which is fine. You don't necessarily need to have the main character have an arc for the story to be good. You know?
I disagree.
Like, I think you can...
The arc doesn't need to be personal change.
Correct. I guess, like, the main character can still go through something, I suppose. Like, the experience can be the story rather than, like, something internal.
Yeah, and I also, from what I understand, the main character is really the chef in the menu.
That's true. That's a good point. She's just the audience surrogate.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm trying to figure out what movie to watch tonight with my family. My mother-in-law's in town. Raiders.
Watch Raiders.
Dude, that is... I think Raiders is a great American movie.
Ocean's 11.
I like Top Gun. Somebody said that. And I was like, I asked for great movies to watch on 4th of July in the Discord, and somebody said Ocean's 11. I'm like, not great movies for me to watch on 4th of July.
Yes.
Just like family. I will always enjoy watching. Yeah. I don't think Ocean's 11 is a great 4th of July movie because I do think it's very American, but I also think it's not the right kind of America that you want to celebrate.
No. No, it's a little better.
But it does have the sort of the underdog taking on like the big capitalists and then taking him down and getting the girl. Like there's great elements to that, but I'm thinking like The Patriot by Mel Gibson.
Ooh, yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah, I want to watch that. So I don't think I've seen it all. I've seen like parts of it on TBS, you know, growing up.
I've seen some memes
or TNT or whatever.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie. When are we going to get Mel on the podcast?
I don't know if there's a good option. I'd love to get Mel on the podcast.
Mel Gibson went on Avoiding Babylon. Mel. So
yeah. I made that tweet about Catholic podcasts, which is so funny because I did not expect it to get the amount of attention that it got.
A lot of people hated it.
A lot of people hated it. Which is so funny because I thought it was just like a universally known thing that like Catholic podcasts aren't very good, including ours.
No, people don't. People don't think that.
It's the butterfly meme where it's like somebody makes something and just slaps the word Catholic in front of it. And then this is this good? Like that's the.
They're like, what about Bible in a Year?
What about Bible in a Year? It's not a podcast.
That's not
it's an audiobook.
That's not a Catholic podcast. Like, you guys know what we mean when we say Catholic podcast, you know?
Yes. Anyway. People are like, well, but what about the ones with priests and nuns? Those are bad too. We're no better. I mean, what if we just did 30 minutes on freaking movies? Like, we're not.
Oh, no, this comes from a special. Place of, this comes from a, this, the stone is being thrown from inside the house, to quote another movie.
Yes.
Scary Movie 4.
I've not seen Scary Movie 4.
Someone popped onto the master class Discord that I'm in for Twitter, and it was like Nick Nevy, and I was like, hold on. And it was some guy named Nick Nevy, whose Twitter bio...
That's so I know, funny.
Right? His Twitter bio claims that he has a seven-figure business. Now, what does that mean?
What does that mean? That's interesting. Seven figures of profit, seven figures of revenue. You have seven figures working in the business.
Are
like
you
there's
including
seven different
decimal
people?
Points?
Yeah.
That is something that people have that business people in that money Twitter space tend to do. They're like, I've done $7 million. I've done $1 million in. I have $1 million in contracts that I haven't collected, and my annual expenses are $1.5 million. I have $1 million business. You know,
sounds like you're in debt, bro.
Yeah. Or like, if I extrapolate, I made $100,000.
My run rate is this.
If I did this every month, dude. Sometimes my sometimes my supervisor, it's Adam, if you're listening, I love you. Sometimes my supervisor for my job like tells me my run rate. He's like, if you do this every month, I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing is if you can't just extrapolate ifs as if they're certainties. I do that all the time for the crunch, and it's awful.
Yes. If you want to hear more business talk, you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/thecrunch. Every week we do a bonus podcast where we usually just talk about money,
the state of the podcast,
state of our lives,
the things we got cooking.
If you know what movie I should watch today on Thursday, the 4th of July, and it is Sunday, the 7th of July, please message me. I'll put it on my list for next year. I was going to talk about the new book or the Alec Molly's book, Out of Sons, on the podcast today, but we talked about movies instead. I finished it last night.
Dude, really?
I almost cried.
Really?
Yes.
That's so good.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I know. I was like, to just very impressed that someone who this is their first ever book that they wrote was able to like effectively get me to emote, you know?
It's hard to do that in a book.
Brandon Sanderson's first book made me mad.
Really?
Because of it was because it was not good, you know?
Which first book?
Elantris.
Oh, I never read that one.
Yeah. So then I read this other guy and he's like, I'm like having a meltdown.
Someone cutting onions in here. I need to go talk. I need to hold
it's
my
great.
Son.
So I know we've already advertised it. You've probably heard the ad already, but please, please order Alec Molly's book, Out of Suns.
Alec, can you send
Thank
me the PDF?
Thank you to our other sponsors.
I'll just buy it.
Send him the PDF. Thank you to our other sponsors, Exodus 90 and Patmos Hosting Solutions for sponsoring this episode of the Crunch Catholic Podcast. You guys are making it all happen. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
I am proud to be an American. You know, a lot of it's people think it's cool nowadays to hate on America. That's a midwit. All right. We should be proud to live in the capital of the Empire of America.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next time.